to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, I'm up against Action Jackson. Tom Holly, just brought Weber on the board. SP Futures down 10. Dow Futures down 111. The NASDAQ Futures down 25. Kind of big news in the morning. Although it doesn't seem to be making much difference here. The Chinese markets are down. Well, Shanghai's down 2.5%. Hang Seng's down over 4%. China tech education shares getting whack. So Nikkei, however, is up. So, but anyway, Chinese mainland shares getting, well, I guess Hong Kong is not exactly mainland, but they're basically in their butt kick. So got that going for us, Matty. What do you think about that? You watching the Olympics?
I watched the women's water polo a little bit on Saturday morning, and they destroyed Japan. I watched, the women's rowing race, and they won their heat, the one heat that I watched. But then it went to, like, the bicycle racing, and that is so boring, I couldn't make it. So I've watched about 4 minutes, maybe 6 minutes of the Olympics so far.
Well, we watched, my bros last night, and we watched, of course, he's a non-cable guy, right? We're not sure who he's punishing there, but so you know, they can only get what channel 5 they're on.
Yep.
Watching the gymnastics and what's our girl, Simone something? She's unbelievable.
Simone Biles, I think, something like that. Yeah, she's considered one of the best Olympians of all time as far as women's gymnastics is concerned.
And she was kind of off last night, so even though. But this is sort of weird because, as they go through the team stuff, I mean, didn't have her best night, which means that the team scores weren't as good as they should have been. But no matter what, I mean, I'm not saying it's rigged. I mean, who the hell knows what's rigged and what isn't. But as you go through, only two girls from the U.S. can finish, can go into the individual round. Because this round, it's a team round, but then it also qualifies the people for the individuals, right? I don't know if you know much about this, but I know a little bit. But
I know nothing about it. So
well, so only the top two Americans can enter the individual in any given, you know, whatever apparatus or any given whatever sub-discipline, whatever you want to call it. And so essentially, she's going to be an individual in all this stuff. Only one other girl can make it the individual. So that's really where the competition was last night, was among the American girls trying to make it into the individual, which is interesting. So even though she had kind of a couple of oopsies, she went off the mat and what do they call that thing where they take like two jumps and they bang on the thing over their head and then fly through the air forever? The guys don't do that, just the girls.
Tumbling or something?
No, you run down this huge thing at a million miles an hour, then you take a big step and you land on something that shoots you even higher. Then you hit your hands off like essentially like a pommel horse, only it's a spring thing too. Then you fly up in the air and do like 8 spins and land.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's how the hell is so difficult? Well, she goes so fast and it goes up so high, she almost overflies the thing you're supposed to hit with your hands.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean she's a. Well, they showed pictures of her when she was like three or, well, she must have been not three. She probably was like four or five doing stuff. And she's just, you know, obviously skinny little girl. And she was unbelievable then. And they said they immediately knew she was going to be a star. She was like five or six or I don't know. she's not very big now. So, you know, she might have been seven. I don't know. I can't tell. But, she was talented back then, for God's sake. They just kind of recognized her, And then what's her name? Katie Ledecky lost by a little bit in the 100-meter or the 400-meter freestyle to one Aussie girl. But it was the second fastest time, like, of her life, and she lost by, you know, whatever, like a half a foot or something to this Aussie girl. It was the fastest time of her life. So it was like, it wasn't, she still owns the world record, but these are the next two fastest times or something. How crazy is that? How many venues did these goofballs the Japanese and that goofball. So how many venues did they build to have no fans in there?
Good question. So there's no fans at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they keep showing the families back here in the U.S., and I'm sure, I bet they all had airline tickets. Are they going to get all that money back? I hope they do.
Yeah, wow.
But the swimming thing's got to be new. And what, they had the Olympics, you know, not that long ago, but they can't be the same places. I mean, you know, the gymnastics might be in a basketball arena or something that they already had, but some of the stuff, like the swimming thing, is unbelievable. The swimming and the diving, and this huge, that's got to be new, I would think. I mean, and it's all big surround, outside. It's not just temporary stands. I mean, these things are for real. I bet they've built three or four, new places. They have nobody there. What do you use them for afterward?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big investment to bring the Olympics. We saw what Chicago is planning to do. It obviously didn't work out, but it's a big investment to bring the games to your city and your country, and so they're willing to spend whatever, it seems like.
Well, you get a massive check from the Olympic Committee for that. You get a big chunk of the TV rights. So, I mean, it's not just your dough. I mean, Chicago is going to get, I'm going to say 100, maybe more than that. It's a lot of dough. Because what is NBC paying for this? And all the other people around the world? I don't know. I'm not that much of a purist, but it really is kind of odd watching these. I watched the girls' softball. I don't know. I turned it on.
It says NBC paid about $1.5 billion for all U.S. rights to the Tokyo Games.
What are the rights worldwide? I mean, it's got to. Italy must have paid, and France got to have paid.
Sure, yeah, I don't know.
But the guys, they're playing. I don't know what got me into this Friday night, but Saturday night. But I watched the men's volleyball, and we spanked up on France pretty good. And what do you call the little guy? Everybody wears, this is something new. I played volleyball for one swing in college with my phys ed, so to say that I know anything about volleyball is I don't. But in those days, everybody had a rotate, right? Well, now evidently, all these guys are wearing red jerseys, our guys. And then there's one little guy. All the rest of these guys are monsters. Then there's this little guy that wears a white jersey. Now, he doesn't have to rotate. Whenever they get some guy up there and he mashes a serve, it's always this little guy who catches the thing and puts it up in the air, and he never seems like he has to serve. What is he? Is that another position?
I don't know. Is this 5-on-5 or what is it?
Whatever the full group is. And France was wearing blue, and their little guy wore, another colored jersey. And all these guys are like 6'5", and then there's this guy who's like 5'8", 5'10".
I've never heard of that in volleyball, the type of volleyball I've played, which is just pickup recreation volleyball. It's always, everyone rotates, everyone's the same.
I never saw it either, but this must be, and he's the guy that, seemingly like 90% of the mash serves that come over, this is the guy that bends down and, bangs it up in the air like nothing happened. I mean, amazingly skilled at it. I mean, but everybody didn't have to be because he does it.
Are they indoors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
I did watch one other thing, too. I forgot. So I watched 2 minutes of the women's rowing, 2 minutes of women's water polo. That was the most boring until the bicycle racing came on. That was the worst. But I did see the archery gold medal final between the Netherlands and Korea. And it's a guy and a girl pairing for each country. And these are like the two best ranked pairings in the world, apparently. And they made it to the final. And basically, they just go every other one and try to shoot a bullseye. And you get 10 for a bullseye. You get 9 for the ring around it, 8 for the ring around that, and so on. And
just like Robin Hood.
Yeah. So I did watch that, and that was pretty entertaining. And I think Korea upset the Netherlands. The Korean girl got hot and had a couple tens and three nines or something, and
wow.
They ended up taking it.
Well, do you get any?
this is hilarious. Do they get paid at all to do this?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Is there evidently the guy starts talking about the volleyball, and I don't know if it's. I guess I don't care that much, Matty, but in my day when I was young and really cared about watching the Olympics, I mean, people came one time. Then you left and went and got a job. I mean, basically, even in, right. There were no three. I mean, you might have been somebody who, you know, landed there when like the skiers
or the track stars. I mean, they made money.
Yeah, a little bit.
Some of them were pretty famous.
Well, you know, but even those guys. I mean, what's his name? Jesse Owens once went, right?
Yeah, I know, but he's like on the cover of like a Wheaties box and stuff. I mean,
oh sure, you were famous.
Yeah,
but
it's not like he went and then was a bank teller after that.
What I'm saying, it wasn't. They were talking about how much these guys are making playing volleyball. One guy was 36 years old.
By the way, Kevin says that gymnastics event you're talking about is called Vault.
All right,
that thing's called the Vault, and then the little guy in volleyball would be called a rover, I guess.
Yeah,
so he doesn't have to rotate.
I
just didn't know that existed.
I didn't either. But they're talking about how the guy goes, well, you don't make like NBA money, but you can make good money playing volleyball. I'm like, where? But I guess they do. I mean, I guess I don't. It's a career. The guy's got a family and kids. I mean, in 40 years ago, nobody who had a wife that didn't have a frying pan would let you hang around being a skier for the rest of your life just for waiting for your next 4 years Olympics without getting a job.
Right. Well, there must be enough events globally. I bet it's not in the U.S., but there must be enough events globally that you can make a good living by traveling around and playing these tournaments for money. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, I know beach volleyball, they make dough.
Beach volleyball is, a little more popular, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's because the girls are in bikinis.
Well, if you're talking about the women's beach volleyball, then yeah, would be correct.
Well, I think a lot of girls like looking at the guys, too. Of course, who knows, there might be other guys like looking at the guys these days. We don't know. Oh, did you see that Argentina officially went on any paper now? You can be male, female, or X.
In the Olympics?
No, just in general. You know, this is the weird part of this thing, Maddie. Where do people? I mean, I really don't care what anybody wants to do in that regard. Once you're 18, you can do whatever you want in your own bedroom, as far as I'm concerned. But what are people gonna? Where's the logic in this? I mean, it's the same logic as people saying they don't want a wake or a funeral. Well, don't you think that by the time you get to the ripe old age where you're thinking about croaking, that you would have figured out that the wake and the funeral, it's not for you, it's for the people that are left?
Right.
I mean, it's not about you.
It's not about you at all.
Yeah.
You're literally gone.
You're gone. So, I mean, why is this sexual thing on like a driver's license or a passport? It's the same reason why, well, I don't think I'm 6'4 anymore. Let's say I'm 6'2. I don't put down 5'2. I don't put my height down because of me, what I want to be. I put it down so people can realize it is me. So if you're a male and you put down female, it's not about you. It's about the person looking at the idea and looking at you. What am I missing?
I don't know. I don't really care about this topic. I don't really have an opinion on it.
I don't either. I'm just saying, but it isn't about, I mean, what if you put, you know, female on yours? I don't really give a crap what you think you are. The fact is, I'm looking at you, he looks like he's male to me. Why do I want to look at a driver's license that says you're female?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, whatever you think you are, knock yourself out, but you look pretty male to me. I'm just saying. Anyway, so I listened to your buddy this weekend. I can't do it anymore, Jambi. I'm over it.
Boog.
Now, the question is, I bought one of those original radios that had the 8-second delay so you could listen to the radio, like when I was watching the Bears, because I want to listen to Thayer and not the other idiots.
The majority of the NFL broadcast teams on TV are about as bad as it can get, in my opinion.
Well, plus,
much rather listen to the radio.
Yeah. Well, plus our radio guys are real good.
Yeah.
But so now, I think I stopped using it because the delay now is more than 8 seconds.
You can't add a second or take a second.
No, it's 8 as far as it goes.
Okay.
But I think the new ones go to like 12. If everybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, the radio you get pretty much live. Matter of fact, I think you do get. I mean, you can watch the TV. Well, I'm going to put it this way. You can watch the game at Wrigley with the radio in your ear, and they're calling the plays.
Yep, it's pretty much like dead on.
And but the other, the cable is, that's why going across the street, if you're not watching it from the rooftop, if you're inside just drinking or it's raining and you're watching on TV, it's useless. you hear everybody cheer like 10 seconds before you see it.
Yep.
Anyway, but he was into his Mr. Stats thing. But still, we need to talk about this White Sox play. Just, we don't want to kill everybody today with sports, but for those who didn't watch the White Sox Brewers, it was the most amazing, well, I shouldn't say that about sports because I'm one after another, it's amazing. Oh, by the way, just at my age thing, I watched the girls' softball, and our pitcher, God, Manny, she's got to be, she must be 6'5", 6'4", one of our left-handed pitchers, and and she's like 33. She played professionally in Europe and here. To me, that doesn't seem like my idea of amateur athletics, but, and on the Australian team, 13 of the girls are over 30.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like, but, so we got this one, I mean, nobody gets any hits in this. The pitchers are so good. So our first girl is like one of the best, she's like the best hitter in the world. And like the first time up, she wails one over the right fielder's head. And now get a load of this. In order to bring softball back, they weren't going to build a separate stadium for softball. So they're actually playing on the baseball field.
Oh, okay.
So they moved them. The
mound. Fences way in and
well, no. The fences are just there. They just don't
come into play.
Yeah, they don't come into play.
Okay.
And the infield is behind the infield, and they take the mound out. Right? So it's flat where the mound is. So it's no big deal. And so the girl whacks one over the right fielder's head. She gets a triple. And then they move the infield in. Somebody smacks one, you know, chops one to third. She comes home, and she's out. Bangs into the catcher like something you saw in Major League, right? She nails his catcher, and no harm, no foul. The catcher takes a couple minutes to get up. She got the wind knocked out of her. The girl runs into her. She pops up like nothing happened. I'm going, God, these girls are tough. And
I enjoy watching women's softball.
Yeah,
like the college women's World Series. I actually enjoy watching that better, more than the men's the college baseball stuff.
Well, that's because most of them are hot.
Well, I would disagree with that, but there are a few. But it's just a good brand of ball, and it's fun to watch, and they're really competitive.
What was the...
Whereas when I watch the college baseball on the men's side, if I don't have a particular rooting interest, like, you know, when Notre Dame was making a run, I was cheering for them, but if I don't, then to me, it's just like watching a bad brand of baseball. I'd rather just watch the major leagues. But with women's softball, you're watching it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the highest level, and it's damn good.
Well, at this level, though, I don't think we've let up a run yet.
Yeah, that's probably. I assume that's just because the U.S. is that much better than the other.
Well,
countries.
We got two pitchers that are lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys just alternate pitchers.
Yeah,
but they're matter of fact, there's great movement of foot to move their mound back a foot. Yeah, I thought that their mound was like Little League, but it's not. Little League's 46, and there's only 43. I mean, softball's 46, I think.
Yeah.
And theirs is 3 feet shorter, and I don't know why that is, the way those girls can sling it.
Yeah, because they throw hard.
I mean, I don't know. If they moved it back to 45, I don't think that would be a horrible piece of the game, and it's still not far back as I thought it was in the first place. Anyway, but they were playing, so, but I mean, this girl, she towers over everybody else. I mean, she's not unattractive, I mean, at all, but speaking of the college, where did those girls in Florida, I mean, this is, I mean, not that I noticed it. The reason why I noticed this is because we used to play in Oak Lawn League against this one team, and God, they were good. Every guy on the team, it was like this Dutch reform group or something. Everybody on the team was blonde haired, blue eyed, 6'3 to 6'4. I mean, I don't know, but, and all their girlfriends and their parents came, and they all sat in the stands. They had a big crowd in the stands to watch them play. And by the way, we couldn't beat them. They kicked our ass. I think we might have beat them once, but they were good. Every one of the girlfriends, blonde hair, blue eyed, 5'10". I mean, everybody looked exactly the same. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know how you can tell your wife from the other wives. They all look the same. But the Florida State team must have had 10 girls like that. Blonde hair, blue eyed. I'm like, what are they? They tap into one of these religions and got every girl from the church or what?
I think they're a powerhouse too.
They won.
Yeah, they're always a top 10 program. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they were really good. But anyway, Friday night I'm watching the Sox are playing the Brewers and they got bags loaded. Well, the Brewers had just scored like three or four, so the Sox are down. Trying to get bags loaded, nobody out. And I'm thinking, all right, they can come back and tie this here. And then not only they get to beat the Brewers, but they maybe can help the Cubs out. So. Guy chops one, they throw home, it's a bad throw, the guy beats it. He kind of straddles the plate. Doesn't, you know, it didn't look it looked a little odd, but his toe from the angle they were showing you looked like his toe could have hit the near side. So he looks at the ump. The ump is giving the absolute, totally demonstrative safe sign, which if you've ever played softball or baseball means that you touch the plate. Because if you didn't touch it, the play's still alive, and he doesn't make a call. Am I right?
He stands there looking like a bump. If the umpire sees that you didn't touch the plate, then he would not make a call. That's correct.
So the guy turns around. The guy's got the safe sign, so he heads for the dugout. Meanwhile, the opposing team, the Brewers, don't notice it either. Because the catcher, when the ball brought him toward the infield side of the plate, so he never turned around and looked, so nobody sees it. Meanwhile, they send a guy out to the mound to talk to the pitcher, and now the thing's on the big viewing screen. Well, of course, now everybody sees the guy miss a plate. So then they run out, and then they review it. And I'm sitting there going, there's nothing to review. They haven't appealed it yet. The play is still... I haven't seen anybody run out of the dugout, but I think you almost could. But it's not... And once they throw the first pitch, you can't appeal anymore, right? It's got to be an appeal from the pitcher at this
right.
point. Matter of fact, I mean, being a pitcher 40 years, you're supposed to, like, if a guy misses third, you get the ball, you present the ball, and you say to the umpire, I'm appealing the runner missing third base when he went by, and you wing the ball over to third, and the guy
and
tags the base.
Steps on the base, and then the umpire, you know, decides to accept your appeal or deny it.
So they never once did this. Meanwhile, they're on the phones for, you know, seemingly endless. They call the guy out, and then, I'm thinking, how does that work? Because the umpire already called him safe, which, you know, I understand that that's one of the part of the appeal process, but this is kind of an unusual play because the safe indicates that you actually did touch the base. So then they come out, and the umpires, then they go talk to La Russa, and they talk back. Then they get back on the phones again. Well, finally now, the pitcher throws the ball home, and the catcher tucks the plate. So they appeal it. After God knows how long, and after already being reviewed, the guy's already called out without the appeal.
Completely out of order.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. The umpire got it wrong, obviously, by calling safe when he wasn't. So that's your first mess up. The second one is the Brewers got it wrong because you have to appeal first. And then once you appeal, then if the umpires decide that they need to go to the video monitor to
review. Well, you'd challenge after the appeal.
Yeah, exactly. Then you'd have to challenge after the appeal. You can't, yeah, the fact that they went to the video monitor without an appeal makes no sense because, okay, you're appealing that he didn't touch the plate. Well, the Brewers never touched the plate either.
Yeah.
Because I retweeted the video of the actual play, and, you know, it's a swinging bunt on the third baseline, and the pitcher fields it and flips it to the catcher and pulls him off the plate, and the ball gets away from him. And like you said, the base runner kind of straddles the plate and never touches it, but the umpire clearly calls him safe, and then, you know, everyone's kind of like moving back to their positions, like, all right, next play. So yeah, there was a lot of mess ups there.
Yeah, it's
I don't see how any way though that you can the point of replay is that the umpires get the call wrong and then to reverse it and get it right. Okay, good. But the Brewers didn't do the next step. You have to appeal that and touch the plate. Otherwise
there's nothing to appeal.
There's nothing to appeal. You didn't get anybody out, even though he didn't touch the plate. You didn't get him out.
That's right. And so I don't know, but it was a big play because it would have been 4-1 with nobody out.
It looks like it was in the fifth inning, and it was 4-0, and it would have been 4-1 with the bases still loaded.
Yeah,
and nobody out.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Anyway, what do you think is going to go down this week trade-wise? I mean, it's surprising. I think the Diamondbacks have a couple people that can help people.
Yeah, sure they do. Every team does, I think, some more than others. But, yeah, they have a couple guys. I think what I've seen so far, the big one so far is Nelson Cruz, the big-time power-hitting DH. The Twins unloaded him because they're having a bad year, too. And so he went down to the Rays, and the Rays are right in the thick of it. And then I saw last night that the Padres are acquiring, who are obviously clearly in the race, are acquiring the Pirates second baseman, Adam Frazier, who's really good, and who I know the White Sox have been interested in. A lot of teams have been interested in.
You know, I'm surprised I haven't heard any peep about it, except for about a month ago where somebody was saying the guy that could really help the Cubs, even though They, you know, this is even when they were in the midst of their losing streak. Is Damaso Marte playing for the Fish?
I think so, yeah.
We talk about toiling in mediocrity.
Obscurity.
Yeah. They're saying the Cubs, plus he's not a kid anymore. They put him in center field for the Cubs, all of a sudden they got a lineup, which is probably true.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's just he's another guy that's kind of a home run or a strikeout, and I don't think we need any more guys like that.
Well, but we sure don't. But I was stunned. I mean, in his world of shift, and the debate is, you know, should anybody do anything against the shift? The Cubs are up yesterday against the lowly Diamondbacks, and it's like the eighth inning, and the Diamondbacks get their first guy on first base. Now, they need a base runner here, right? I mean, you can't hit a five-run home run. So the Cubs go into a shift. The only guy to the third base side is Baez, and he's probably 3 feet, 4 feet off second base. And up comes this guy, and I'm thinking, if this moron doesn't lay down a bunt to that side, I don't care if he's Babe Ruth. They're giving you a base. You can't hit a five-run home run. This guy's got to get on, and they're giving him the on, and he's not taking it. First pitch is outside, and the guy takes his humongous swing trying to pull it over to the right field wall, and I'm thinking, it was a perfect pitch to bunt. What is the matter with you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
with you on this. I'm with you 100% on this. There's situations where, you know, you want to swing away. You want to try to drive the ball. And then there are situations where you need base runners, and it's somehow, some way you got to get on base, whether it's taking a walk, whether it's kind of letting an inside pitch hit you in the arm.
especially if you got the pad on.
Right. Whether it's, you know, trying to go the other way or trying to bunt, whatever it is, you got to try to get on to win a game or to tie a game. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's selfishness or what, but a lot of these guys just won't do it.
Well, I know we got to head to break here in a minute, but I don't see the Cubs right now. They're in the middle here. I don't see how a starting pitcher and maybe a one more position player like Horner with some speed that puts a bat on the ball, I don't see how that doesn't put them somewhat competitive. And for the amount of money they charge and the fan base they have, to go back down to zero again, I don't see that as being the way to go. I just don't. Not only because I like to watch them, but I
agree. I mean, they're two games below 500. They're nine games back. So they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. I mean, I think that's clear. But this idea that you have to now trade everyone and be terrible for 3 years again, like you did, you know, 10 years ago, that's not the move, I don't think, at this point. After you've had seven straight seasons of being very, very good and winning a World Series and making to three NLCS and all the success they've had, making the playoffs 6 out of 7 years, that's about as good as that's the best run in the history of this organization for 150 years. So the idea that now we're going to go all the way back down to zero, it would be a tough pill to swallow, I think, for anyone when you're in a major market. Now, that said, they happen to have, what, three or four guys that are all going to want huge money, and they've basically said, we're not going to pay them. So are they going to pay one of them? Are they going to pay two of them? Or are they going to pay zero of them? I don't know.
I don't see.
So at that point, I don't want to lose them for nothing either as a fan. So I would say if you're not going to resign them, then you might as well trade them and try to get some prospects for them, because otherwise you just get nothing.
Well, the guy who's obviously the man for the hour when it comes to somebody else wanting him is the closer.
Right.
Because somebody wants to win this year.
It would definitely make sense to trade him.
I mean, if your closer's hurt or something, even that guy, you pull him in the office and said, we want you back in September. We're going to rent you for 6 months, and when you come back, we'll have a better team because of you. I mean, that part I get. But, I mean, I don't see Rizzo as all that marketable right now. I don't see Baez as either. I mean,
Baez, I mean, is frustrating as he is, he's elite defensively.
Oh, yeah.
He's
made about eight errors in the last week.
Yeah, he's batting .250, which is above league average. He's top five in home runs, and he's top five in RBIs. I mean, he's very frustrating. He strikes out way too much. He doesn't walk enough. He doesn't put the ball in play enough. But it's not like he's a bum. I think for some reason fans are frustrated with him because he takes such big swings in certain situations. But this idea that he's not a bum when he's arguably the best defensive shortstop in the game, and he's going to hit 30 plus home runs and drive in 90 plus RBIs, and he's batting .250. I mean, it's like,
well, it frustrates a real lot of people, no matter what talent. I mean, maybe even because he has that talent. Wasn't that the movie Major League, Bull Durham, where he said, you know, we got a $1 million arm and a 10-cent brain. I mean, it wasn't at the line, something like that. I mean, you really wonder if you're trying to win ball games. I mean, I would wonder, man, I've had guys on my team that were really good softball players, and all of a sudden, like, you really just need a ground ball to a second baseman. And the guy can't wait to drive one right to where the left fielder backed
right
up to.
I mean, exactly, to hit the deep left field fly ball out.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder what's going on. I mean, is it about them or is it about us? I mean, right? I mean, and you really do wonder about that with bias sometimes. I mean, you wonder.
I agree.
Maybe part of that is they haven't signed these guys. And her agent says,
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's really weighing on Rizzo. I mean, to me, I've never seen him seem so distracted on the field. He's made a lot more mental mistakes this year than he ever has.
I think he's been hurt the whole time.
And I think he's hurt too, when he's had the back issue all season. But, I think it's really weighing on him. The fact that this is the first losing team he's played on in seven, you know, since 2014. And, he's banged up and he's in a contract year, and the fact that they have not re-signed him, even though he's been, you know, the captain of this team, and they're not really showing him the respect that he thinks he deserves. I think it's really weighing.
Well, when they got him, the team was basically horse bleep, right?
Yep. He was first kind of piece in the rebuild.
And they said to him, we want to build this team around you. And now he sees these guys with a totally different plan, whatever the plan is. You know, that they got rid of, I'm not saying they shouldn't have got rid of Schwarber, but they didn't replace him. They got rid of Yu Darvish, they didn't replace him. Really, right?
100%.
So he's like, what is our plan here? You know, what am I doing now?
Our plan is we lost a ton of money during the COVID year, and now we're going to make it back somehow.
I bet they got a fortune from the government, these teams.
I'm sure they did.
I mean, anyway, if a pizza place can get like $10 million, I bet a baseball team did. Just saying. I don't know. I'm not sure. S&P futures down 950, NASDAQ futures down 14. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 750 now only. NASDAQ futures down 7. We were down more than that last night. But we buy the dip. Even before we open, we got to buy the dip. That's our plan, Stan, and that's what we're into. Dow futures still down over 100. Individual stacks, we got Boeing down 250. We got Home Depot down 280. Yeah, other than that, not much. We got Salesforce down 2.25, but still nothing major in that regard. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 72. That's 0.5%. FTSE down 19.3%. CAC around down 20.3%. Over in Asia, here's what the story is today. Nikkei's up 285. This is what we've been seeing, you know, it's up and down on the same day, which is a full 1%. Shanghai down 83, 2.3%. This is a big one. Hong Kong down 1129. That's down 4%. China tech and education shares are getting whack. As a way of review, Friday, Dow was up 238, S&P up 44, that's a full 1%, NASDAQ up 152, another 1%, so we absolutely cannot stop going up, which, is good. You just gotta make sure you're not the last guy out someday. That's whatever that someday is, could be a decade from now. 10-year down 3 basis points to 125, so the 10-year is still very low. Bund minus 0.42, it's unchanged. Japan positive 0.02, also unchanged. We've got oil down 37 cents, 71.70, but still way up from the 66-something it dropped to last week. So it's bounced right back up, not to the highs, right in the middle of, if you want to say 66 to 74 is the now range, it's right in the middle. Brent down 28 cents, 73.82. Natural gas up 8 cents, 4.14. So I think the hot weather out west in some of the areas is putting a big draw on this natural gas. I wonder what's going to be this winter. I mean, I shudder to think. We got gold is up 7.30 to 18.09, so back up over 18 by a reasonable amount. Silver up 24 cents, 25.48. So silver continues to have these fairly violent 1 to 1.5% moves within a very narrow range, which is not something you normally see, but we've been seeing now for quite a while. Copper up almost 6 cents at 4.45. And we've got the crypto Bitcoin up 4,000 to 38,551. Wow. So that's what the upper end of that range. We'll see if it bounces back down from there or if it keeps going. We'll know that the rest of the week. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
41 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a good start here on the area expressways, roadways, tollways here in the city. No issues at all, actually, on the Edensor Kennedy. Eisenhower looking good. Stevenson traffic building, but no accidents to report. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet. Off the expressways, out west, North Avenue, Route 64 there at Swift Road, there's a crash. And then just west of there in Wheaton, Geneva Road at Prince Crossing Road, there is an accident as well. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, another beautiful late July day. Lots of sunshine, warm temperatures, a high of 86. Right now it's crystal clear and 70 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 97 today. Right now it's clear and 75. In sports, the White Sox were on the national Sunday Night Baseball broadcast last night, and they salvaged the final game of their three-game set, avoiding the sweep, beating the Brewers 3-1 last night behind a strong performance from Lance Lynn. Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks, winning yesterday at Wrigley 5-1. Reds come to town tonight. And the Olympic medal count, we'll take our look at that in a second, but first we do our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings. So the White Sox are 59-40 after a tough weekend, but still firm control of the AL Central. They're 9 games up on second place Cleveland, 13 up on third place at Detroit. Cubs are 49-51, 2 games below 500. They're in fourth place in the NL Central. They're a game behind St. Louis, 2.5 behind Cincinnati, but they're 9 games behind first place Milwaukee. And the Diamondbacks are in dead last in the NL West, 31-70, one of the worst teams in baseball history so far. certainly the worst in Major League this year. 31-70, 32 games behind first place San Francisco. And back to that medal count real quick, Chief. The U.S. is tied for the gold medal lead with Japan. Each country has 7 gold medals. The U.S. is second in overall medals with 14 behind China, who has 15 total medals. Chief.
The sumo wrestling is not a sport, is it?
An Olympic sport?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think so. But what did Japan add? Everybody gets to add one, right?
Then they probably did add sumo wrestling, wouldn't they?
Well, who else has even got a sumo wrestler?
I don't know. I mean, we got fat guys here.
Is that... God. The, you know, there's like 100... Jan, how are you? Jan, well, ask Jan. He knows everything about everything. Jan, how many sumo moves are there?
My sumo days are long gone, though.
The
although I probably look more like one now than I used to. But
I know they claim to have like hundreds, but
well, no, it's like 101.
It's really just pushing each other out of the
it's
ring.
It's exact numbers, like 101 or 102.
Wow.
It's not 100. If it's 101, it's not 102, and it's not 100. It's 100, and you got to master every one of them before you. You know those guys I've read, again, this is probably not breakfast talk, but they retract their male parts up into them when they crash into each other. So they don't have problems getting kicked where you don't want to get kicked.
That's a talent.
It's something. Yeah, I don't know how do you practice that necessarily, but there's way more to this than meets the eye. It does look like two fat guys run into each other, but I mean, the Japanese, of course, every one of the moves has a name because everything you do, everything in martial art. If you ever want to read a lot about that, the mentality, read some of the Eric Lustbetter stuff, ninja and white ninja and things like that. Every single thing has every discipline or sub-discipline has a name or a purpose for it. Like when you see that the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I believe that the term is Japanese jiu-jitsu. I don't know how the Brazilians got involved, but and that's the art of fighting somebody with a sword when you don't have a sword. That's the sub-discipline that was jiu-jitsu. And they have all kinds of stuff. They have a sub-discipline where if you have a sword but you're sitting down, jumping up, being ready to use the sword instantly, that's also a sub-discipline that takes like years to learn. You know, why anybody would be sitting down with a sword anyway, I don't know, but that's, if you are.
Which, sumo is not an Olympic sport, Tom, but it is the IOC recognized.
Okay. Well, so what did Japan add? Could you get the home team gets to add something, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure what they.
Well, softball's back after not being there for a while, so is baseball, right? I bet they added baseball.
That's very well possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be sort of ironic, but it would be about time, you know.
So it says, so I'm reading here, two of the sports added to the Tokyo Games, baseball and softball, were featured at the Olympics as recently as 2008 before being dropped in 2012 and 2016.
Yeah, they were there in Brisbane, right?
Yeah, it says the other four that they added are newcomers. They added karate, skateboarding, sport climbing, and surfing.
Surfing?
Yeah. So apparently they added six sports. So they must have dropped some others.
How do you know you're going to get waves? How do you even have a surfing competition?
Well, I mean, there's certain areas where they know they're going to get waves.
What if there's a shark out there?
Well, that's what
home team advantage.
That's what professional surfers deal with every time they go out there.
I guess. I don't think any shark's dumb enough to ride those waves that those guys do. Who's the guy who just died? The best surfer ever, right? What's his name, Jan?
Dave Murphy. Our friend was talking about him.
Yeah, Surfer Dave.
It'll come to me.
The guy's like he was up there, but he'd been in all those original surfing movies and stuff. Didn't he ride like a 30-foot wave or some ridiculous thing?
Incredible.
Yeah, those guys. I mean, talk about nuts. Jan, what do you make of the news this weekend? A lot of sports, a lot of a bunch of shootings, but that's somewhat. What do you, just in general, how do you think this is somewhat mashing together when it comes to a city like this? When obviously the fear factor, boy, I tell you what, if you're out in the suburbs on the weekends like I am, everybody, whatever it is, bartenders, people, I'm never going. What am I going to do down there? I don't want to get shot. You know, I mean, it's, I don't, do our leaders even have a clue that that's causing? I mean, I know, if you went to the areas at night, you're going to find them mobbed. And, man, you're not the only one. Boy, I saw some people on Friday night, and virtually everybody's company in the last week or two had their first event somewhere at some restaurant and every place. Somebody was saying they were on the west side in some place. They had like 85 people, and somebody else had a crew of like 400. The place was outside. Everything was mobbed. I mean,
wow.
Must be, like you're saying, every company's decided it's the all clear in the last this month. Everybody's having their first, you know, sales meeting or company meeting or something for in like a year and a half, which is really good news. But how much of if all this stuff about hiring people is really that difficult? I mean, I think it is difficult hiring people the way you wanted to hire him a year and a half ago, but how the hell are they going to stock McCormick Place and all the restaurants and bars that go along with that? I mean, all the places in the hotels near McCormick Place and even like the Conrad Hilton, they can't be fully staffed. How are they going to go from, you know, a third staffing to how many bars and restaurants does the Conrad Hilton have? Like six, seven? I mean, what about all the places by the new Marriott and everything by McCormick Place? Are they just not staffed?
Well, as far as I know, like the Hilton is not at full capacity, and this was designed to be this way, that they weren't going to be restored to full capacity even after they reopen. So I think they're being very tentative about what kind of business they'll really have. But they certainly aren't equipped to handle like the radiologist convention or any of the big things that, you know, the housewares, any of the stuff that comes from McCormick Place. Those hospitals are running at 110% usually. I don't think that's, you know, possible, and unless they've got some kind of, you know, emergency plan here, I don't see that being in sync at all with this attempt to reopen, because they're talking about a lot of stuff returning. I mean, I heard somewhere that McCormick Place, you know, is going to have a relatively full roster, supposedly, which is, it's great, but, you know, it's not great if you can't serve it, so.
Well, Matty, is it your view, since you're closer to this, that, like, the Expedition Hall and the Marriott, is that getting somewhat full, or at least the smaller shows that are usually at the hotels and don't go to McCormick, are they back running reasonably full or not?
I don't know. All I can tell you is the Marriott on the Meg Mile that we had our event was completely packed, full staffed, everything open. And
you're talking about the same one that's on the river, or one
at Michigan and Grand?
Right, not the one that's across from the Hyatt. The big, huge one.
Yeah, that's the one.
That one, okay.
Yeah.
I thought they had another one on Michigan Avenue. It wasn't as big. They don't?
I don't know of another one. But
okay, they probably don't. Okay.
Yeah, but all the hotels right there on Michigan Avenue, the Intercontinental right by there, the Marriott, were all just packed.
Because at Hyatt's huge. I mean, their exposition hall, I mean, it's not McCormick Place, but you could have 1,000 people there easy, maybe 1,500, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they're full. That place is huge, that Hyatt. I mean, it's almost as big as the Cameron Hilton, isn't it?
I think so. As far as public space, you know, exhibition space.
Well, you know what they have at the Cameron Hilton, which is genius, I guess. If you guys have ever done we had one of the booths at these things, and we used to do a booth PTI way back in the day. And we had our booth set up and everything. And it was always depending on how, you know, anal a place was or how big they were in their unions. We'd have like one light over. We didn't have the world's biggest booth. I mean, if you have a really huge booth, you pay those guys to put it together. I mean, if the booth is massive.
That's right.
But we just carried ours in and threw them up there. We had like one light. So we'd be looking around for a place to plug it in. And of course, being the clever fellow that I sometimes was, I always found a spot. You know, even if the guy next door paid for his power thing, and the guy'd say, "I'm not using all five spots, stick yours in there." And I go, "Okay." You know, well, with the Conrad Hilton, everything in the exhibition hall is 220. If you don't have if you don't have a converter, you try and plug one in there, you're gonna go up in smoke. How beautiful is that, Betty? You got to have the gotta have the converter, and it's absolute genius. Anyway, John, what did you make of? Where do you think we're going with this? I'm switching over to this COVID thing. And Matty, I don't know if you've been reading this weekend about how the latest is if your football team can't play because three or four people have COVID that weren't vaccinated, it's now a forfeit or something.
Forfeit. Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's draconian, you know, and I think it's there's been a real ramping up, I would say, in the last 10 days to 2 weeks in the sort of dire warnings about getting the vaccine. And the debate has, you know, there's always been the undercurrents, there's the Delta variant and, you know, be on the lookout for an upsurge and all that. But clearly now the discussion has drifted away from the disease. And it's now focusing on so-called prevention of it. So now it looks like you're really, you know, running a risk of, you know, not just being slapped down, but being shut out of everything if you don't fall into step. And it's across the board politically. This isn't, you know, a respect to our party boundaries at all. You know, all these governors, public figures, regardless of their politics, are saying pretty much the same thing. So I find it pretty interesting and pretty scary.
Well, we just got, this actually came from the Center for Disease Control, which, considering the fact that Fauci and all these guys are telling everybody to go get vaccinated. Now, for full disclosure, I'm due for my second shot and I plan on going, so I'm not against the vaccination at all. But the thing that is interesting to me is at some point here we're going to have to essentially admit to people that the vaccination is for you. And what it does is, especially with this Delta variant, if you're going to get it, it's going to be a lot less, it appears that if you're vaccinated, it's going to be a lot less dangerous for you in terms of deaths or bad illness. Because we just got, was sent out by one of our people, a study that they actually lucked into this study, and it was in Brazil, Jen, somewhere, where they had essentially a work camp or a mining camp where somebody brought the vaccine essentially back to the camp after a weekend away. And all these people, essentially, they used it as an opportunity to test for the Delta variant. And the vaccinated people, kick me if I'm wrong here, John, but the amount of people that got the Delta variant, it almost didn't matter whether you were vaccinated or not, in terms of whether you tested positive. Now, the severity, it actually wasn't as severe as the original COVID for anybody, but was less severe for the people who had the vaccination, right, John?
Yeah, I did. There was a study. I did see that, and but you know, the thing on the other side of that is that the CDC has now sort of pulled the plug on the PCR test for COVID because they say they can't. The test cannot distinguish between COVID and flu, which I think the only thing it tells me is that the two are indistinguishable. So, and this has always been the case with flu vaccines and flu testing, that the flu vaccine was always sold as something that was not a guarantee because there were so many variants, and you couldn't expect not to get the flu just because you had the vaccine, but it greatly reduced your risks of being severely sick. But I think now it looks to me like the CDC can't even keep up the fiction anymore that there's any difference between COVID and flu.
Well, the interesting part of the, well, one of the interesting, so in other words, the key is that the people who get, even if you're vaccinated, you're very susceptible to testing positive for this Delta variant. Now, it's probably going to be asymptomatic. And they're also not all that forthcoming as to whether or not you can give it to somebody else. It appears to be undetermined at this point, right? I mean, from everything I'm reading.
They're not saying, yeah.
They're not saying. Maybe it is determined. But the interesting part about this Brazilian test is, the only group that was not susceptible or did not get it, there's only six of them, so it's not exactly a massive study. The only people who did not test positive or appear to get the Delta variant in any form were people that already had the COVID.
Right.
So they still did not get it. And one thing is our people have not said since day one, they gave no quarter to people that already had the disease and had the antibodies, and it appears from several studies that those people are in the best spot. Now, whether or not it at some point, obviously, it's going to wear off. I get that part. And I'm in that class. So after waiting a while, I'm getting the vaccination and, you know, I think that's the proper thing to do. I'm not going to tell somebody else to do that, but I think it's the proper thing to do. And, so I mean, are we ever going to get to the point where it seems to me that somewhere along the line here, we're going to say, even if you're vaccinated, you're still liable to get this Delta variant. But don't worry about it. You're probably not going to be hospitalized. The vaccine is going to cut down on the seriousness of it, just like a flu shot.
There's also studies showing that the hospitalizations for COVID among the vaccinated have exploded.
Yeah.
So it isn't as though you're protected or immunized from being hospitalized or from being seriously ill, even with the vaccine. So,
but probably not as seriously ill as you would have been. I'm still hoping that's true.
Right, but I mean, they're using hospitalization as some kind of threshold that if you know this, and saying not say even saying what your symptoms are when you if you present when you go to the hospital or what your recovery rate is, which seems to be lost in the shuffle somewhere. But the, if you use hospitalizations as the key figure, which they, all the studies seem to be pushing as a reason to get the vaccine, you seem to have just as what now you seem to have a greater likelihood of being hospitalized if you've been vaccinated.
Well, I don't.
There certainly isn't any consistent message here, and the studies are all over the place. And depending on where you are or who's pushing the study, you get completely contradictory results. So I'm just as sort of I look as askance at this stuff as I did at the beginning, because it's all just kind of noise and static. You can't really make much sense out of it.
Well, we had one president who basically made a buffoon out of himself by ignoring the fact that it was a very difficult disease and that people were dying and suffering, right? Now we got a guy who's out there every single day, him and his wife, telling you that if you're vaccinated, that you're going to be protected from this this variant, to the point where if you have the variant and you haven't been vaccinated, not only are you going to be ostracized from essentially society, but your business or your team is going to have to forfeit because of you. And that's every bit as wrong as Trump. It appears
well, the whole
to
thing
be.
Is wrong, Tom. Yeah. I mean, even the Delta variant and all these other what I consider scare tactics are simply ways of you know, if you look at a disease where you haven't even isolated the agent that you're supposed to be immunizing people against, and even to use the word vaccine here is a complete misnomer. But when you haven't isolated the actual agent here, how can you possibly say that there are variants of it?
Well, what you're saying is when you've been lying to people for 18 months, how do you all of a sudden start telling the truth even if you wanted to?
Well, you just have to lie more and more. Yeah. And you have to sort of up the ante of not believing these lies. So it's turned into a disinformation campaign now that it's going to take a severe turn away from, you know, happy talk about the vaccine to punishing people who don't fall in line behind it.
And well, the good news is,
I foresaw too a year ago, because I could see that what they were really doing was making people feel like we've got the answers, and if you don't listen to us, you're hanging out there. And now it's become even more shocking to me that they are saying that this is a reason to deprive people of civil liberties, of your right to associate, or to be out in public, or to appear in a restaurant or something else. And you can see what's happening in France and Italy with the explosion of unrest over this kind of stuff. But I think they're the test runs for this. The next thing is here, and they're already grooming people for it. So it'll be an interesting fall. But this is all according to schedule to me, Tom. I'm not even that upset about it. I'm no more scared of the COVID now than I was in March of 2020. I'm less scared of it, if anything, and more distrustful of the people who are making hay out of it.
Well, to me, unfortunately, I mean, as you, I've been here kind of a long time on planet Earth or spaceship Earth or whatever you want to call it, and I was reading something, and I don't know how the hell I got this one, though. And I don't mind talking about how we're doing things basically bleeped up because I wanted things to be better, because I really do think that, you know, the U.S. is something special. And I was reading this article from some guy, and he, you know, I don't know where he's from, but was talking about basically, get over it. I mean, the U.S. is no different than any other, what was the term he used? Experimental democracy. Every one of them has failed, and it's failed for the same reason. It's people do not have the energy, really, to govern themselves. They want to be told what to do in the aggregate. And people in the best democracies essentially end up voting for a dictator because they want to be told what to do, and they don't trust other people. Essentially don't trust other people. That's why Germany, which was at one point one of the shining lights of democracy, couldn't wait to elect Adolf Hitler. And they talked about, you know, and what did I send you around? What did Joe Stalin say? It doesn't matter who votes,
who counts the votes.
How about that, Manny? And so Joe isn't powerful. You know how they killed Stalin? Finally?
Well, refresh my memory.
Maddie, you remember this?
How?
They gave him for those people that have ever had like a heart rhythm problem or anything like that or a clotting problem, before they had these two new drugs, they gave you, what the hell was the name of it? It was essentially rat poison. It was a blood thinner. Rat poison is nothing more than a big, what the hell's the name of that stuff? That's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, because nobody uses it anymore because they got the Eliquis and Xarelto are the two new ones. Anyway, so they gave him in his vodka one night because it's tasteless. They knew he had like super high blood pressure and was right close to being a stroke type of thing. Well, they loaded up his vodka with essentially rat poison, and he ended up having an aneurysm and died blood out because he couldn't clot. But nobody's willing to shoot the guy. He was such a tough old bastard. So that's how they killed him. How bizarre is that? And he was very short.
Because they didn't have vodka tasters back there for...
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was very short, and he only had short people around him. Because he was like 5'4", and Khrushchev was, what, 5'2"? Or something. Betty, how would you like it if every boss you had was 5'6", and all your hired guys that were under 5'6"? What would that do to you?
I'd be out.
You'd be out. Anyway,
I'd have been out when I was like in sixth grade.
Yeah, and the guy was saying basically the article was, you know, get over it. The guys like me are just trying to keep fixing stuff and say we're going the wrong direction. It says forget it. Don't waste your time. Go play golf because it's over. Democracy here is over. We want people to tell us what to do. We as long as we get down and vote, we don't want. I mean. The idea that you actually take responsible for yourself and you trust other people to do the same thing, it's not human nature. Yeah, the Greeks lasted a couple hundred years, the Romans lasted a little while, and they couldn't wait to get a dictator. As soon as Julius Caesar came in, they couldn't wait to hand over the reins to him. I mean, and how many times it's happened in true history? And is that true? I mean, are we? Thomas Jefferson basically said, "What, we got 200 years and that's it? We've made it a little longer than that."
Oh, what did Franklin say when asked what kind of government you have, it's a democracy if you can keep it, you know, meaning that it's always a risky chance to have any kind of a government that's supposed to function like this. But look how it's being subverted, Tom. I mean, if it's destined to fail, it's certainly being hastened on its path, because you got all these people in the country hating each other because they're told that, you know, you're the problem. You throw open the borders and start flying people who you never saw before. You haven't tested for anything. I mean, you couldn't go to a foreign country or come here without some kind of a COVID test, probably, and we're just throwing open the floodgates and asking people, you know, demanding that they come in here and stir things up is what it looks like to me. So you make it look like the thing is completely uncontrollable and can't be mastered by the systems we have. So now it's time to implement something, you know, a little dicier, a little tougher, but then we can have some kind of normal again. But to me, that's just kind of like shadow boxing. The country is pretty much what the country has always been. But we're being told it's a failed experiment.
And well, the people on the border, are there any... Are they any dirtier or more disease-ridden than the Irish who showed up?
Oh, of course not. But we did test them.
What did we test them? We tested them for what?
Containers, you know.
What did we test them for? Brogue?
Well, they had eye tests. If you had conjunctivitis, you were tossed back.
Oh, they never sent anybody back.
Oh, yeah.
What did they do, put them on a steamship going home?
Yeah.
That couldn't have been very many people.
Well, it was enough to make people, you know, hang around Ellis Island long enough hoping to get a negative test, but because they did do it. You know, the point was that this wasn't like you couldn't come into the country, but you couldn't come in some kind of, you know, tunnel arrangement or being, you know, smuggled in by some coyotes to keep you under the radar. These are people who...
Well, that's because you
can look at the ship manifests, you know, for all the, you know, Philadelphia and Boston and New York and New Orleans, all these places kept track of who the ships were carrying.
Well, we were
and of course there were stowaways and things like that. But these people had to pass, you know, some of them had, you know, minimal, you know, if they were clearly nutcases acting out at Ellis Island, they'd find a way to detain you, and if they could find a reason to get rid of you, they sent you back.
They took Vito Corleone, and he didn't even talk. He didn't even have a name.
No, that wouldn't be a barrier, you know, to being admitted. But there was minimal medical testing, you know, and they were faced with a, you know, huge influx of people, so it wasn't like this was, you know, a sophisticated or elaborate kind of program.
Didn't even ask them, by the way, when you grow up, are you going to be a gangster?
Well, how could you ask a question and get any kind of reliable answer?
He might have said yes. You don't know. I would bet you that if we had the dough, if we could get some of Maddie's money, if we had the dough, we could take a group of maybe 300-400 of the people from Nicaragua or someplace trying to make their way across the border, transport them to somewhere on the south side where there's an old high school they're not using with showers and everything, and I'll bet you in 2 years we would have people gainfully employed, the neighborhood being built, and everybody doing what they're supposed to do, and we would be very happy with the settlement. Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is what you do, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that's everybody, but clearly, we have, we've lost track. I mean, we'd love to have an ocean between us and Mexico, right? Or at least a Rio Grande that's a lot wider and a lot deeper. But we don't, so it's a problem. I mean, there's no doubt it's a problem. By the way, we heard from our girl today, Maddie, Jessica. She was wondering who's going back to, now here's the story. Ceres Cafe is reopening, and obviously I've been there, going there for 40 years, through several different names. But, all the people that most of the people I know for the last 14 months, they were all bright people. And a lot of them came over here from, there are a few girls from Romania. They all went and, got degrees here and so forth. I mean, they were real hard workers. And Jessica graduated from, DePaul. They all got different jobs. I mean, they're not coming back to Ceres, for God's sake, even though you can make a lot of money at Ceres. I think a lot of people in 18 months have just gone onward. John and Maddie, I don't know that one of the reasons why you can't fill this up is maybe we don't have as many, people that were illegal were willing to work for cash for $10 an hour. I mean, that was the backbone of the restaurant industry for decades, wasn't it? Illegals, basically.
Oh, for your kitchen help,
yeah,
busboys, maintenance, all that stuff. And it still is. I mean, I still see pretty much the same crowds of undocumented workers that hang around, Pulaski Road every morning waiting for people to come by and hire them out. That doesn't seem to have changed. It isn't like it's gone away. So there's still a thriving market in construction and everything else, landscaping, all this stuff. I don't know if that's changed so much. I don't even know if it's changed so much in the restaurant industry, although the restaurant industry has certainly changed. But I think that's a fairly small part of it, and I don't think it's a driving force.
Well, always struck me as the oddest, there's a million pieces of hypocrisy, but all the, cover your ears, all like the right-winger dudes and conservative people that are in these country clubs. Has anybody used more illegal labor ever than country clubs?
Probably not.
I mean,
per acre.
Per acre, yeah. I mean, all of them had some kind of a house where people lived there, and nobody ever questioned it. I mean, if you would have walked into if a guy like Trump would have walked into one of these country clubs and said, "By the way, I'm going to ban all these people, and we're going to pay a living wage, but your dues are going to double," I think that would have gone over like a fart in church. I don't think that the guys that want to stop everybody at the border actually want to start paying these guys as citizens, did they?
Hell no.
just saying. Bizarre world. So where do you think, since your education, man, it's kind of shipped a better topic here, what do you think the status of the colleges are all starting this year? Do you think it's going to be seamless, and are we going to get some places where you can learn a little cheaper than the major colleges, or the price going to stay up there? Or, I mean, it seems like nobody's talking about it. Man, have you heard anything about any of these schools? I mean, it's talk about the news that's not even there. I mean, are these what do you think happens in higher education and in high school? I mean, are they going to just take the people who were supposed to be seniors last year and promote them, and they're all going to start college without senior year in high school? I mean, what do you think's happening here, John?
Well, I heard this through my brother, who's got one daughter just finished her first year of college, and her sister is starting this fall. So this is, he hears from these various counselors, where they went to high school and stuff they hear, because they're pretty stitched into the higher education gossip, much more so than I was when I was in college. But they told my brother an interesting statistic, and I haven't found confirmation of this yet, but I'm going to explore it. The advanced placement test, where your last year of high school, you take courses that if you test on the national test at a high enough level, you'll get college credit for those classes. It's optional, not all high schools offer it, but apparently across the board, the scores for the last administration of these advanced placement tests have collapsed, meaning that the people who were supposedly taking advanced placement classes online, very likely, performed abysmally. And now, it's a question, are they going to curb this? Are they going to give these people, any credit for having performed this way? But it really indicts the fact that there was much learning going on in the advanced placement classes. So the thing this suggests to me is that, these are the high-achieving students, the ones who were sort of driven from the first day of high school into an honors track or whatever to be prepared and to succeed at advanced placement courses. And if they're not doing well, apparently they're not, then what are the people in the rest of the pack doing? So I suspect it's been a total failure, and there's been in many cases there's been more than 1 year of lost education, which you'll never get back again, and you won't have the same interest in it as you used to, and it's going to make less difference over your earning life too. So it's horrendous, and I don't think we've even thought about how to gauge where we are and how we can ever crawl back. So that's kind of my take.
Well, what are the
statistics?
So if you get an outlier year, well, let's say nobody learned nothing. I don't think we're quite there, but we're probably closer to there than we'd like to admit. What do you do? You can't have the entire...
No, well, and just even if it's just a question where everybody learned less, which I think is pretty irrefutable. I mean, what do you do? In the public schools, you can't flunk people. You really can't hold them back. Social promotion is the name of the game. So performance, it was never really the marker there as far as when you graduated or if you graduated. And I think it just means that there's been a greater loss of skills that you graduate with across the board, even in the best schools, even in advanced placement classes. You're playing catch up.
Well,
what does that mean for the long haul? Well, who knows? Who wants to know? I mean, who's willing to ask the tough questions? What that means?
Well, you're not going to give the 18 grand you gave if your brother's daughter went to public school. Let's assume, well, she probably is one of the ones that learned something. You're not going to give the school 18 grand again for her to do junior year again. I mean, it's money wise, that's. And what do you do with the people that are 4 years old that can't go anywhere now because everybody's doing their first year or kindergarten over again?
But I can bet you that the unions are going to be pushing for exactly that, Tom. Saying it's not our problem, wasn't our fault. We just got to do all.
Well,
this
it's actually kind of going the other way because one of my friends that I see from time to time, his lady friend is a school teacher, CP, school public school, and. She was doing the online thing, and she said some kids did pretty well, and in the middle didn't do as well, and some she never even saw or heard of. And so she flunked a few of them that didn't do anything. And they called her into the school, and let's say if they had a paddle on the wall, they would have used it on her for flunking these two kids, or four, or whatever it was. She goes, you can't flunk anybody. She goes, I never even saw them. It wasn't like they came here and instead of getting 70 on a test, they got 65. I never saw them. Doesn't matter. You got to pass them. Okay. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. Even in community colleges, I mean, when they do reports for how many people have actually been showing up to classes for the first month or so of a semester, the incentive, I think, it really was to say people were there whether they were or not, because this represented money to the college. This is if you were saying half the class never showed up and I never saw them, they didn't do anything for me. I have no written work from them. I marked them absent every day. The college would take a hit for that. I mean, in some people's eyes at the college, not everybody, and not certainly as a matter of policy, and not all faculty either. But the idea was, why cut the number of people who are on your class list because some of them are non-performing, when if they're all treated as performing, the college will get back some of the money that it's owed by the state that it hasn't been funding, you know, adequately for the last 5 years. Maybe this is a way to kind of keep our heads above water. I'm not saying that that's in huge numbers, but there was a push in that direction. Don't undercut the school by making it look like there's fewer people here than what the paper says are here. So that's, I think, you know, the bind that public education is in, because the numbers are collapsing. I mean, every, you know, school district probably in the last year has shown a reduction in registration, just because these people are now seeing that my kids didn't learn anything. I'm going to pursue other options. I'm taking them out of here. I'm putting them over there. I'm going to school them at home, whatever. And that hasn't been very adequately tabulated or discussed either.
When somebody schools somebody at home, what is there any kind of benchmark? Is there anything that they have to prove that they're actually doing something? How's that different?
There's programs you buy into, and it isn't free. And it's, you know, curricula that are prepared for homeschooling, so that you can, you know, there's instruction materials, there's course materials, there's, you know, testing, everything. It's the same as if you were, you know, there's the same thing that are being marketed to the public school systems and the private school systems. And here's a course, but here's a book, here's a course, you know, how to learn this skill, whatever. And you do it for people who are doing it at home. And in my own experience, Tom, I got to tell you, I mean, the students that I had in community college who were homeschooled, and it was a growing number by the time I retired in 2013, they were the students that I would have died to have had all my years teaching, because they really were glad to be in school. They were prepared. They sort of set the bench for everybody else in the class. They were well socialized. They weren't just like dweeby people. You know, they participated in sports. They belonged to stuff. They were active. They were volunteering. They were doing all the things that you know, young people like to do. But they were doing it in a way that seemed to enhance their educational performance. And the students that I got to know, you know, most of them who were homeschooled were being homeschooled by parents who were teachers, who had also gotten fed up with what they saw as happening in the public schools of the district and didn't want their own kids going through that. So,
Maddie, did you have anybody like that in when you were growing up in Iowa, where somebody like show up for basketball practice that wasn't in school, that just got to play basketball because he lived in the district but he was being homeschooled? We never had any of that. I mean,
I don't think so.
Oh,
it's possible, but maybe not basketball, but maybe a different, like, a different sport that I didn't play. Maybe there were some kids that were homeschooled, certainly, that you would meet later on. But I don't remember anyone specifically.
When were they able to, it wasn't that long ago, that they I'll use the term, earned the right to, play sports even if they didn't go to school there. Just in your area. I mean, it's not that long ago, was it?
No, it's. I think in this century, I don't think it wasn't the case as I recall growing up. And I mean, I didn't know anybody who was homeschooled as a child in my neighborhood. I mean, there was the public school and the Catholic school. There's one or two private schools that I never heard of, really, where people went. But there was no homeschooling. It just didn't. The house life in those days wasn't set up for it, really, because people had more kids.
Yeah, if you had five or six kids and you lived in a bungalow, how the hell you
homeschool?
Right,
you were working at classroom A is going to meet in, you know, the master bedroom. You didn't have that kind of thing, but it's different now, and I think people have been forced to do it. It isn't really something that somebody would opt to do, because lives are busy enough as it is. But from the students I got to know and their parents, who I also got to know, too, in some cases, I could see exactly where the push was from. They didn't want their kids going to this kind of system. It was pointless. They wouldn't learn anything. They'd get into the wrong crowd. They'd lose their kids to drugs or suicide or something else. I mean, they had all the panic buttons arrayed in front of them, and this was considered a very easy choice to make, but it wasn't a choice that they ever expected to make, you know, when their kids were born, I don't think. And this was a growing trend in relatively, you know, high income earning school districts.
But how does
the schools were really off?
Where's this all going to go both of you guys' opinion, where's this all going to go in regard to, I mean, the single biggest thing on your tax bill is, your property tax bill is public schools, right? Public school
right.
district. I mean, how does this all, I mean, so you got a lot of people spending a real lot of dough. I mean, let's put it this way, I know a story of somebody who made it into the front page of the Sun-Times because he wasn't paying a whole lot of taxes the place
oh,
in Michigan?
Senior Freeze or whatever the guy is.
Yeah.
Astor Street House.
Well, I used to trade next to that. He was 5 feet away from me for 19 years in the OEX bit, so I know who the guy is. Anyway, well, evidently he just got a tax bill, and it's pretty friggin' high. I mean, how much can you continue to tax people on his property taxes when those people don't even go to the public schools? Or a lot of them, let's put it this way, a lot of them do now that you got schools, like Walter Payton or a Whitney Young or a place like that, or what's the other one? One down here, Jones something.
Yeah,
there's people that, you've essentially carved out an elite group of about seven schools in the Chicago public school thing where it's where you try and keep your people that pay a high amount of property taxes. I mean, it's a gross way of putting it, but it's very true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you live in, Winnetka, I'm not sure the geography, your kid can go to New Trier. Where you live in Chicago, your taxes are every bit as high. But oh, by the way, you got to go to private school because the schools were lousy. That was 25 years ago. So the city basically responded and said, well, we're going to have, three authorities, elite schools where basically the rich kids can test into. But now they're kind of messing with that. The new administration. Oh no, just because you pay $50,000 a year in property taxes doesn't mean you get into Walter Payton. We're going to take people from other parts of the city. Well, in a lot of ways, that's very fair, but in terms of money, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? I mean,
no, and there's tremendous fraud with that too, of insiders, getting preferential treatment, people in the public school system, administrators or whatever, leapfrogging other people, and payoffs and everything else. Once you make a school better than all the schools, nearby, you're giving everybody an incentive to commit fraud to get in there if you can't get in there by any other means. And I think it also means that a lot of students who are not going to succeed, or maybe they're not cut out to do, high-level work, but they're there anyway because that's the lifeline that the parents want to throw at them, and they paid to do it. Look at Felicity Huffman and all these other people doing it at a higher level. But it's happening in grade schools and high schools, too, and has been for some time. I don't know. The thing to remember in the housing collapse in 2008, Tom, nobody's real estate taxes went down.
Well, they're not going down now. I mean, down in these buildings downtown, they're going to try and get full bore from these people.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that your house collapsed in value didn't mean that your real estate taxes went down accordingly. Well, once the monster is used to taking this kind of money, they're not going to listen to any reason to lower that amount. And that the fact that the Board of Education is teaching fewer students now by a huge number than they were 20 years ago doesn't mean that they're not going to ask for as much money as they can get, and they're not going to ask for less. Nor are the teachers going to ask for less money or, more teaching time or anything else. So it's a terrible, way of sabotaging, people's dreams and making the people who are, suffering because of it pay ever more and more. So it's just, I don't know. I have a dire outlook on the whole thing.
Well, we don't have that much time, but I'm kind of unfortunately, we only got a couple minutes leading us down this road, and I'm surely on a nice and beautiful Monday morning, I don't really want to be doggy downer, but where does this all end? I see downtown area down, it's coming back some. I mean, I think, but this South Loop, with essentially losing the exchanges, you're losing the people on the block, the restaurant closed. Well, now there's, depending on the day, you've got a 1 to 4 person homeless condominium within the wrought iron fence area that used to be their outdoor dining. Friday night, I left downtown at 6:30 and I drove around to pick up one of the guys that was in the bar with me, and he wanted to ride home, and I see a guy in the closed subway using the doorway as a public restroom. This is at 6:30 in a fray. I mean, we really think that. We're, I mean, how is somebody going to open up this restaurant again down the block? Does he get to kick these people out or not? Or does somebody help him out? Or does he have to hire people to do it? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we're talking about people to try and get them to commit massive amounts of capital and to try and do some things here. I mean, the Board of Trade building, if you look at the annex and the rest of the building, I'm going to say to make that a type A office building is probably a $100 million, $80 million investment. Without people on the exchange floors and without people clamoring into the center of the use, who the hell is dumb enough to do that? I mean, right. What are we doing? I mean, I've been down here since 1980 when I used to work for Pullman on the Loop before that. We never had four murders within 1,000 yards of our door in the last 3 months ever in that 40-year period. And all of a sudden we do. I mean, the people, the building we're in, they just had, well, this is actually not a good story for them, but they lost four floors from an engineering firm that's been here 30 years. Now, the good news, I guess, for them is they were able to buy, because some other firm couldn't make it in this mess, they were able to buy on the cheap another smaller firm, and this building didn't have any more room, so they ended up getting a single floor or two, I don't know, one or two, in a much bigger building where everybody could be in the same spot. So they moved out. So this place's loss is somebody else's gain. But now, if the other person, if the reason why those two are empty is because someplace is out of business because nobody wanted to come downtown, there's a net loss there somewhere, with just this building taking a loss and not the other guys. And what about the firm that couldn't make it and is out of business and now selling the place for probably a lot less than they thought it was worth? I mean, we're not talking about positive events going on down here.
No, it's going to take a tougher mayor than we have, and it's going to take a mayor tougher than Rudy Giuliani was in New York, and I'm no fan of Giuliani, but he did, start enforcing vagrancy laws and stop and frisk people and kept the subways clean and got rid of the graffiti and made it, attractive to go to New York as a tourist and as for a person to live there. And that's all sort of gone to hell in the last year in New York as well. But you can't bring back somebody like Giuliani in a big city and not have tremendous pushback that you didn't have in 1990 or so. Because the climate now is against stop and frisk. It's against moving the homeless people.
Well, the climate according to who? According to people that are being carjacked, it's not against their...
Oh, yeah, but who listens to them, Tom? It's the socialist aldermen and everybody else who get all the microphones, and they do all the yakking and yelling. So you're not going to get the draconian actions that you need to restore some kind of order. I mean, dealing with the murder problem is one thing. Dealing with the homeless vagrancy problem is a less violent thing, but it's just as pervasive. And you're not going to... I don't see any movement on those fronts or anything in between at all in this climate. I think anybody who tries to do that is going to get assaulted on the national front by the press.
Well, you are until... I hate, like, I'll even say this, but you people's property and people's well-being, the only thing that turns somebody from a... I won't say socialist because I don't think they are. I don't think the people you're talking about even know what a socialist is. But the people that are nothing makes somebody less law and order than their car getting stolen.
Well, yeah, every socialist alderman probably has their own security forces because they're calling for everybody else's police to be defunded. They're funding their own, so they don't care about the other people.
Right. I mean, so it's. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want us to go any further down this way because I don't want us electing a dictator for Chicago, and it's coming down that road. Somebody says, hey, you elect me. I mean, essentially, this guy just got elected in New York. That's, and I'm not calling the guy.
Eric Adams?
Yeah, but he's a... His message was, this place is going to be easier for you to live here if you put me in there. I'm not going to be afraid to put somebody in jail. Basically, was his message, wasn't it?
And how can you complain about such a message?
You can't.
Right, and maybe it's an easy step from that to a fascist state, but... What we've got now is I don't think anybody's first choice of how you want a big city to operate. Because this big city that I live in is broke, by all my observations.
Well, totally.
And I don't know how you fix it, but you can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect it to improve.
What is the definition of insanity? Is doing the same thing over and over again?
Expecting a different result, yeah.
Anyway, John, thank you very much. But SP Futures down 9, NASDAQ Futures down 33. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. May I'm reading about this crypto tax loophole. We should probably go over that again a little bit. It's not a massive loophole, but it doesn't mean you don't have to pay taxes, but it gets you away from your wash sale rules. You can contemplate what a wash sale is while I go through this. S&P futures down 950, Nasdaq futures 30, down 39, the Dow's down 59, it was down over 100 when we came in. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 35.2%, FTSE down 2, call that flat. CAC around up 5, I'll call that flat. So these guys are down earlier, now they've come back. Over in Asia now, they can't move because they're closed. Nikkei up 285, that's 1%. Shanghai down 82, 2.3%. Hang Seng, and here's the big one, down 1,129, that's 4.1%. A lot of their tech shares, a lot of their education shares are going way south. And we'll talk about that a little bit after we're done with this because clearly a lot of stuff that trades on the Hang Seng is almost like 80, well, actually almost exactly like ADRs that trade on mainland China. And if somehow Hong Kong loses that trust, it's going to be a big problem for the Hang Seng, and it looks like it's starting to be. On Friday, Dow was up 238.7%, S&P up 44, a full 1%, NASDAQ up 152, a full 1%. Bonds this morning down another 3 basis points, 1.25, again, below any sort of investment anybody would want to put in there, but that's where they are. The bond is still negative, minus 0.42, so yeah, just so you don't forget, because you hear it every morning, You give them money for 10 years, they give you back less money at the end of 10 years with no interest payments. And you wonder, why the hell would anybody do that? Japan unchanged at positive 0.02. Oil up 4 cents now to 72.11, kind of in the midpoint of the range. Way up from where it got down to a couple weeks ago, like 67. Brent up 14 cents, 74.24. And I'm going to say in the low 70s is a number where just about everybody can make money. The fracking, the traditional oil guys, everybody I think is reasonably fat and happy in the 70s. Natural gas up 8 cents, 4.14, and it's pretty close to a high. RBOB is unchanged at 2.29. Although, actually, I paid 15 cents less than last week for gas, Matty, which is a little weird. Gold up 240 at 1804. Was up more earlier. Silver up 12 cents. It was up 24. 25.35. Copper up 8 cents. This is high, 448. Every day, it seems like when silver and gold are up, they sell off down the rest of the day. Today looks like they're not even waiting for the opening to do that. Bitcoin up $4,400. That's 13%. 38,849. What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
That's a big move.
Yeah.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic building steadily now on the Edens and Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Coming in from the west and from the north right now, it seems to be our slowest moving areas. We do have a crash out west. This is on I-88. It's actually a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. So if you're heading inbound on I-88, just before Route 59, there is a delay because of the disabled vehicle and crews on the scene. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Lakeshore Drive is looking good. Off the expressways, looks like we have a crash. Still working on that crash. We actually saw a picture of it on Twitter. Out in Wheaton, Geneva Road at Prince Crossing Road, an SUV somehow lost control. It looked like on somewhat of a residential street almost. Flew off the road, knocked down a traffic light, and ended up in what looked like a forest preserve, or at least a bunch of trees right on the side of the road. So I shouldn't laugh about that because I'm sure that's scary, but that was an interesting picture to see in a somewhat quiet-looking neighborhood.
You think they might have been over the limit?
Probably. Near there, just south of there, Route 59, there's a crash at Roosevelt Road. Everything else all quiet. Weather today, a very nice late summer day here, or midsummer day. Sunshine, warm temperatures, a high of 86. Right now it's clear and 71 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 97. Right now it's clear and 76. In sports, the White Sox were able to win Game 3 up in Milwaukee last night, avoiding the sweep. They topped the Brewers 3-1. Sox 9 games up in the AL Central in first place, cruising along here in the second half of the season. Cubs took 2-3 from the Diamondbacks, winning 5-1 yesterday. Big rumors about Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo all getting traded this week, along with Kimbrel. Could be a completely different team here in the next handful of days. By the way, the Olympics are going on, and as we talked briefly last hour, the U.S. is tied with Japan right now atop the lead for 7 gold medals. The U.S. is second in total medals behind China. U.S. with 14 total medals. China has 15. Chief.
Many of you, I have not checked this year on the Cubs roster. How many people do you think on the roster are making the minimum? I gotta believe it's well over half.
Good question. I think I can find that pretty quickly.
And if you get rid of the top guys, I'm going to say that you are. So they never had a real contract with Bryant. It was just his rookie contract.
Well, he had some arbitration, didn't he? So I mean, he got big bumps in pay, but they never signed him to an extension. If that's what you're asking.
Okay, so then part of that is nobody likes his agent.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, and he's very unlikable. So it's not like it's not like the club just he's not like they're the only guys who don't like him. But the club also kept him back to what? May, so they stole a year from him. Didn't they?
When they kept him back, like, yeah, there was a kind of a rule loophole, and they kept him for 2 weeks down in AAA, even though he's obviously very well ready to play in the big leagues. And they added a year of service time. By the way, just pulling up the salaries, and we do have Mike Hart just joining us, so we'll switch to markets here in a second. But the Cubs right now, their highest paid player, Jason Hayward, making $23.5 million.
This is his last year, right?
Yeah, but good Lord.
Yeah.
$23.5 million, and he's a guy that shouldn't even be starting. Bryant's making $19.5 million, so he's your second highest paid. Rizzo, $16.5 million. Kimbrel, $16 million, so he's your fourth highest paid. Hendricks, $14 million. Baez, $11.6 million. Davies, $8 million. Contreras, $6 million. Hap, $4 million. Trevor Williams, $2 million. Chafin, $2 million. Bodie, $1 million. Duffy, $1 million. Mariznick, $1 million. Winkler, $900,000. Rex Brothers, $850,000.
What's the minimum now? Like 600?
575. So,
right.
So you get down to,
what your minimum is goes up every year that you're in the game, right?
Yes. So, when you get into the minimum guys range, you're looking at like, Alec Mills is making 600,000, or yeah, 600,000. Dylan Maples, the bad reliever, is making 576. Alzolay is making 542. Horner is still on the minimum. Chirinos. So yeah, their bottom like eight guys are all making the minimum.
I don't know. Why does Horner have a minimum salary? He's a pretty high draft pick.
Well, that he had a signing bonus that he got paid though, a bunch of money for being a high draft pick.
Yeah, but that's but when you're in the minors.
He's still pre-arbitration.
Yeah, but that's in the minors.
Well, I know, but you get that lump sum. You're still making the league minimum until you reach arbitration.
I thought that, well, okay, I was misinformed. But anyway, let's not worry about that.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Mike. Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing fantastic, Chief. How's it going?
I'm all right. So you, here you went out and played golf this weekend and you shot 78?
Yeah, that sounds about me.
Not exactly, huh? What do you make of what's happening? What, you guys have much more scuttlebutt about this than me. What in the hell's going on in Hong Kong? Things going to zero.
That's a great question. I actually don't know the catalyst behind what exactly is moving Hong Kong, but we are getting tons of movement. What we do know is everything's connected. In the trading world, really, you know, all the pieces are connected, and you can't have one asset moving out of control without some sort of spillover effect into other things. So my expectation is, you know, when I see something like Hong Kong, I'm looking at where else is this going to be affecting?
Well, that's, I mean, is it, are they, do you guys have, we've had a few, but not very many. Do you have people that actively trade the Chinese market through Hong Kong? They have a lot of, I don't know if they call them ADRs, but a lot of the Chinese companies trade in Hong Kong too, right? That actually we as American citizens can trade, correct?
That's right. There's a lot of listed stocks that give you access to Chinese stocks. And those are the ones we trade, you know, things like Alibaba. I'm trying to think of some of the ETFs. And some of these ETFs also give you exposure into China. But it's still an oblique market. It's not super simple to just click on any stock you want and actually collect it.
Well, wasn't it, didn't they allow, again, if it's a further iteration, you'd know more than me. I seem to recall a few years ago, Maddie, we were doing a show, and they allowed a few companies to essentially do mutual funds of stuff on the mainland, right? It was like four or five. And aren't those the only people that actually can own the mainland stocks? And then, we've never had anybody here want to buy one of those things, so we've never done. I imagine you guys have, but, is it still those few people that actually can own the mainland stocks? I think it is. It's not something that we have a couple of, we have the one ETF here that allegedly trades over there, but the thing, every time I put a position in there, even if I heard the Chinese markets were going down, the thing didn't go down. It didn't seem to want to work at all like it was supposed to. So I stopped.
Exactly.
What was that thing? F something something. It was, how was it? Anyway, but I tried it once or twice and I'm like, this is no good. I don't want my people in that at all. But no, it's, I mean.
FXI, I believe you're talking about.
Yeah, that thing is it's a piece of crap, I think. I mean, one day, I had some puts, and I came in, and the Chinese market's all down like 2%, and the thing was up. I'm like, I don't know what the game is here, but it's not a game I want to play.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. I don't have anybody. We don't have anybody who's actually getting caught in this Hang Seng thing. But a lot of it had to do with what Biden said a couple weeks ago, right? Like, be careful over there or something. Kind of crazy.
Well, and what's crazy is just how much it's moved. And nothing really moves in a bubble anymore. Nothing moves on its own. There's almost always a spillover effect. So you get a big move somewhere in the world. It's usually not in and of itself and just a move there, but often you see other countries affected by it, and you can see it kind of spread out like a wave. And if it's turmoil, it could be turmoil that spreads throughout the world. It's hard to say.
Well, but we have, and you look at this morning, I mean, Europe was down when we came in, and now they're basically unchanged. And we're down a whole 11 points, and we could be up by, 836 by the time that. I mean, we've got, have you ever seen in your trading lifetime, not even in 87, 2 months before the crash, when the implied volatility in the OEX got below 10, and nobody the thought of buying a put was so ridiculous. I've never seen complacency like this. There's literally an asteroid could land on New York, and you'd have buyers, because if we opened down on that day, there's people buying that dip. I mean, it's insane. The idea that somehow between government and something we can't go down, and if you listen to CNBC for and Fox, if you put them on next to each other, by 11 o'clock there'd be 50 people telling you that, the fact that 80 million people get killed on the East Coast is the biggest buying opportunity you're ever going to get, right? I mean, it's stunning what you see, and people are all reacting to it. I think, last week was something I've never seen before. I mean, Monday was a huge down day, and it was the biggest buy we've seen in ever, forever, isn't it? At least in a while.
Yeah, it's the market action's been, well, I mean, if nothing else, it's been consistent, but we still are on that pattern or that track of nothing seems to shake this market. Nothing seems to bring it down. There's really no uncertainty out there. Complacency is abound. The volatility level is super low. I'm just going to pull up a quote right now.
The VIX is actually, it's up 137, 18.57. But that's still not low. 18 is not low.
It's not. I mean, 18.57, relatively speaking, it's pretty high. But, I guess when you look over the past year and a half, we're at the lower end of the range given that time period.
Yeah, I would say that. Hey, you guys, I'm not accusing you of trading Bitcoin. I was talking earlier about, unlike stocks, let's put it this way. If you have, say you have a bunch of gains in your portfolio, and so you have to pay capital gains, say this year, and it comes December, but you have one stock, pick a stock that actually is down, that you want to keep, like, for a long period of time. Pick XYZ. So XYZ, everything else in your portfolio is up. You're up $1 million, so you're having a good year, but you got this one XYZ that's an absolute pig, and you're down $1 million in there. Okay, so you can't sell the XYZ to match up against your gains, and then turn around and buy XYZ again the same day or the next day, because that's called a wash sale. So if you're back in, what is it, 30 days, I think? I'm not a tax guy, but I think it's 30 days you have to wait for.
I believe that's the rule, 30 days.
So you can't essentially do that sale just for tax purposes and then buy it back and say that you, because you didn't wait the 30 days. But but Bitcoin is not considered a stock. It's just like, it's like other property. So you could conceivably do that in Bitcoin. Now when you buy back in, if you take the loss, then if it goes back up again, obviously you got to pay the taxes. But you actually could do that. Have you noticed people doing that? I haven't. I mean, of course, we don't trade Bitcoin here, but Have you had anybody say, don't worry, I don't care if I have $500,000 in my stocks last year that I made, I'm going to sell my Bitcoin at a loss and because I bought that at, you know, whatever, 50 or something. I haven't had anybody do that, have you?
No, I've heard that happening.
Yeah, I wonder, it's it is kind of a tax loophole, but it's really more of a delaying and timing tactic more than anything else. Anyway, we had Russell, the two geniuses on volatility are you and Russell. And last Wednesday, Russell was saying that even with the Monday sell-off and the bounce back to where we were up by Wednesday, he said it, he goes, in his experience, his research, it's a sign of market tops, although you never, it doesn't give me any ideas to when. Do you agree with that, or is it just one day down and one day up?
My personal opinion is it's one day down, one day up. I think, you know, analyzing the charts, it's just simply too difficult to bring any type of conclusion from it. You know, we can see the ranges are really small, and we can look at volatility, but even predicting this chart, if you would have bet for a sell-off, you'd be wrong for the past 7 years. So it's really hard.
Maybe longer than that. Maybe back to 2007. You got a little bit of a blip in late 2018, but that was about it, right? And I guess we had a blip with the COVID. So we had two blips that I can remember since 2000.
A couple, yeah.
We've had a couple. But yeah, you really. But what about I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this last week because I hadn't looked at it yet. The fact that the Fed seems to have to be putting in, not that they're putting money into the system. I mean, I won't criticize that, but it seems to me that they're having to put a higher amount in to get to the same place. Or is that just me? And is that going to eventually be a problem? I mean, can they get to the point where they have to do $1 trillion a week like the Weimar Republic? Just to keep the market
right.
Even. I mean, last week was $125 billion, which is essentially four times what they're telling you they're doing. I mean, if that's the number they have to do now to maintain a rally, I don't know. It's starting to get pretty high.
Yeah, that's an absolutely amazing fact. Economically, it makes sense that, you know, the amount that you put in is going to inevitably start going up. But that's almost a scary fact when you say it like that, because you look at where the progression of it might go, and it can't lead to any good roads where you're going to be forced to put more money into a system that's already, you could make the argument, is overpumped with money.
Have you seen any examples? I mean, let's put it this way. I'm sure you've seen them. Have you seen any examples of pricing going up that is causing people to actually change the way they do things? Audrey and I stopped off at her cousin's on Saturday night, who's in the used car business, and he says, it looks like I'm closed. I can't buy any cars. There's like none available. He goes, the stuff that they used to get off, like the lease lines and so forth, he goes, those the dealers are just keeping them. Or the people who leased them are buying them. You would think, you know, there used to be, you get a flood of mm-hmm. 2 and 3 year old Chevy Malibus or something, so you can't even get those. But he's got like four cars on his lot, and last week he sold two of them. But he goes, it's absolutely unbelievable. He had like a, I don't know how many year old Suburban, and somebody paid $24,000 for it. I mean, he goes, the prices, and it was, I actually heard yesterday, and it's confirmed they're up something like, a used car price is up, what, 20% in the last year? We're talking about an asset that goes down by the day, you know, I mean, it obviously has to be affecting people trying to go back to work. I mean, it can't just be, you know, everybody buying a car for their 16-year-old daughter. I mean, it has to be people that actually need one going, wait a minute, I'm paying $11,000 for this junk? I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, it has to be starting to make. I mean, I do believe that the price of like going out has to be affecting families, like for breakfast. I mean, you can't be doing $100 breakfast for a family of four when all you're getting is eggs, for God's sake. But I mean, that's kind of where you are at a lot of these places. I mean, have you seen people actually know, saying to you, "Hey, we went out to our favorite place, but never again." I mean, I've seen a lot of it, but was it just me?
I've seen a ton of it. I especially living in downtown Chicago, you see the prices are inflated everywhere. It's absolutely amazing how quickly inflation moves relative to wage inflation, because the inflation's here for sure. I don't know what the average Uber ride is, but Uber in the city has gone up tremendously. I'm talking like five times what it was. And the cost of just things downtown, in if you could walk along Michigan Avenue, those prices have gone way up as well.
Should we be putting them $5,000 a piece in and going buying a couple of cab medallions?
Sounds good to me.
It might not be a bad idea. Mike, are you on tomorrow or is it Jeff?
I believe it's Jeff.
All right. Well, good talking to you as always. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner. SP Futures up 11, NASDAQ Futures up 33. Be right back. Not be right back. Be back tomorrow morning.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
A little early.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.